All right, everybody, if you have your Bibles, we're reading from John chapter 1 this morning. It's John chapter 1, and if you don't have your Bibles, we'll have it up on the screen for you. We've been doing a new, not new really, but we've been doing a series called Love One Another, and this is really coming from John chapter 15, where Jesus says, this new commandment that I give to you, I want you to love people as I've loved you. And over the course of this series that we've been doing, we kind of just been redefining or just defining what the church is. It's not a building or a location or just something we do here on a Sunday morning, but it's the people gathered together. It's called the ecclesia. It's the people gathered together for a specific purpose. And we gather like this to exalt the name of Jesus and to hear a message that hopefully is good. But really what the ecclesia and what the church is all meant to be about is about us taking this into the world and loving people and being for people. Amen. You guys with me? Okay. And when we talk about the Jesus type of love, it's not easy. Like, he made it simple, right? Go and love people, but he just didn't make it, he didn't make it easy. Because this is the type of love that forgives people when they hurt you. And it's the type of love that blesses people when they curse you. And it's a different type of a love. It's this Jesus way. And Christianity, and I'm just going to, just as a recap, Christianity, before it was even called Christianity, it was called the way. And we're as people of the way, we're meant to lead the way forward for the world. What's the way? It's the Jesus way. What's the Jesus way? It's loving people the way I've loved you, Jesus said. And that's that simple, but it's just not that easy. Because love and pain, they go hand in hand. You don't get one without the other. And it's usually the people that are closest to you that have the greatest potential to hurt you. And so how do we love in spite of that? How do we continue to walk down this way called the Jesus way? And last week we looked at boundaries. This morning, I want to look at something a little bit different, but this is from John chapter 1, starting at verse 1. And it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the lights that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own people did not receive him, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. Now, speaking of children and light, my kids have always, all four of them at one point in their lives have been afraid of the dark. Have your kids been afraid of the dark? Because my kids are afraid of the dark. And my son, Judson, still, and don't tell him I said this, but he's still afraid of the dark, right? And we have our kitchen and our living room and dining room on the one side of the house, and then all the bedrooms and the bathroom are on the other side of the house. And we could be sitting at the dinner table, right? And you can always tell when Judson has to use the bathroom, right? Because he'll be sitting there and he'll just start like doing a little dance, right? He'll start like wiggling around and like, son, you need to use the bathroom. He's like, no, I don't, right? And his foot could be like out like this as he's trying to eat. And he's just like, he's trying to eat his food and he's just wiggling away. It's like, son, you need to use the bathroom. I don't need to use the bathroom, Dad. I was like, son, he's like, you really do. As if like going to the bathroom is like some serious inconvenience, right? It's like, it's just a bladder. If it explodes, it's okay. It's not okay, right? And so like, I'm there with him and he's just like doing this little dance and everything. I was like, I left all the lights on for you, buddy. All the lights are on. He's like, no, no, no. There's no one over there. And I was like, what if? I was like, what if what? There's nothing there, right? And so he's not really like, it doesn't matter how many lights are on. If I don't go with him, I'm like, here, I'm here for you, buddy. Moral support, right? You know, if I'm not there for him, it's like, he's scared. It doesn't matter if the lights are on or off. Dad has to be there. And if he knows Dad is for him, then he's good, right? I mean, the lights can be on, the lights can be off. I wouldn't leave the lights off when he goes to the bathroom because he gets everywhere anyway, okay? That might be too much information, but still, like, this is just the reality of it, right? And so, like, my son, it's just so funny. So lights on, lights off, it doesn't matter. But when Dad's there and he knows that Dad is for him, then it's good. It's the same thing when we watch a movie together, right? We dim the lights, and we're watching this movie. Whether the lights are on or off, it really makes no difference to my kids. But whether like there's a scary moment that's going to take place, right? They'll, as long as they know that dad is there and dad is for them, then they're cool. But, you know, lights on, lights off, it doesn't matter. If dad's not there and dad's not for them, then, you know, they're running to mommy for help me, right? So, but it's just, it's amazing when you have someone in your life that you know is for you, right? It's amazing to have people in your life that you know, that person is just, they're just for me. And, you know, recently I was watching a I was watching this clip from America's Got Talent. Do you guys watch that? America's Got some. Okay, no one watches. Okay, so I'm the only one. So don't judge me, please. So I was watching this America's Got Talent, and there is this guy John Dorenbos from the Philadelphia Eagles. You guys heard of him? It's like the only redeeming quality of the Philadelphia Eagles, and I'm just going to say that for those at our Flemington campus that really like the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm just not a fan, so if you are, I'm just pushing your buttons. So so this guy, John Dorenbos, he gets up on stage, and it's just amazing how someone like him, he just lights up a room, right? And he gets on stage, and he starts to tell his story. And he starts to tell his story, and it's a very deep story, because he opens up with when he was 12 years old, his father murdered his mother. So he's 12 years old, his father murders his mother, and he loses both parents right like that, because his father goes off to prison, and he credits magic for saving his life. And so he kind of just, the world of magic opened up to him, and he learned all these tricks, and it just gave him purpose and identity. And then later on in life, he discovers football, and he gets drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles, and he's plays for a number of years, and season 11 of America's Got Talent, you see him come on the stage, and he actually says that the NFL means not for long, or not for life, you know, and that's basically what happened to him, because he gets traded to the Saints, and he goes for a physical, and the doctor comes into the room after the physicals has ended, and he says, I want you just to sit down, John, don't move, don't pick anything up. You are going to go into open heart surgery right now. And basically what would happen was his aorta had swelled to the size of a Coke can. That explodes, you're dead. And so he goes through this the surgery, survives. His wife is there, and but his NFL career, not for long, is over. And so you see him, and he's here at America's Got Talent, he's telling this story and just having, like, everyone's attention, right? And it's like he's there to perform, but it was more than a performance. Like, he was sharing with people about what it means to be a champion, right? And you think someone like that who just lost, you know, he's this man has known loss in his life. He loses his mother. He loses his father. He loses his career. He's lost a lot. I mean, he may be well off and everything, but I mean, the world has proven to us that you can have everything in the world, but if things aren't right here, nothing's really right. And the relationships that we lost, and it hurts people. And so he gets up on stage and he shares what it means to be a champion and how it all starts in the mind. And here it is, it's like he's not just there for himself. He's there for people. And he's bringing hope to people and encouragement to people. He's not just there for him. He was there for everyone else. And it's amazing how he kind of just lifted the spirit in that room and just the energy and the light that he brought there. Talk about being a light to the world. He was a light right in that situation. And it was just amazing to see that unfold. And I just think it's so amazing in life when we do have light in our darkest of situations, how they can come into them and just be a light. When you have someone who's for you, it's the most amazing thing. You guys with me? It's like they come into your dark situation, light enters in, and they're just there for you. And it's those who truly are for you, they stand out a lot brighter in this world than everybody else does, don't they? They're like this light because they were for you. And we're called to be lights of the world, but the way that we can be a light to the world, it's by being for people. You guys with me? Okay? And I mean, he considered Jesus, right? Jesus, the world was in such darkness. I mean, the world has never known darkness like it existed back then and will never know again. I mean, because here it is. I mean, there was this wicked one world government, Rome, that had taken over the known world. I mean, with pagan worship was rampant, demon possession and the occult, and there's the people cutting themselves in the worship of Artemis and all these different Greek gods that they would worship, and sickness and leprosy. I mean, it was all over the place. And then life expectancy was just so short. And then you talk about Herod the Great. He would be proclaimed or introduced as he would come into the city as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he was this tyrant of a guy who would go to incredible extremes just for wealth and power. He even killed members of his own family. And so, I mean, when he finds out that this king was born, Jesus, he has all the children in that town killed. I mean, this is who we're talking about. And this is the darkness that existed in this world. And into this darkness, a light is born. And it's Jesus. Jesus is so countercultural to the norms of society that he can't help but stand out. And where the message of the world was all about self and just serving self, or the Mosaic law and fear, I mean, that's what people were left with. His light just shines all the brighter. And out of this darkness that exists in the world, there is Jesus, this light that shines so bright simply because of what he was for. 2 Corinthians 4:6, it says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shown in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." You're meant to be a light to the world. But in Christianity today, we often are presented to the world, or we present ourselves to the world in a way that doesn't reflect what we're for, but what we're against, right? And I know this because there's this perception the stigma oftentimes that the church has, the ecclesia that the church has, because sometimes when I told this before, but when I go to the park across the street with my kids and I strike up a conversation with the parents, right, and we get to that question that I always hate, what do you do for a living? And I don't like to tell them that I'm a pastor, because times in the past I say I'm a pastor and people have walked away from me, right? And I'm like, yeah, I'm not that type of pastor, guys. Come on back. But like, that was a joke. So like, but it really did happen. And it's because of the way that the church has been presented to the world, where oftentimes we stand, we make a stand for what we're against, but we don't make a stand for what we're for. And we look at the life of Jesus and we see so much of what he stood for, right? And I mean, I think that when we don't have a good concept of this, I think we can lose our way. And Christianity, which is meant to be the way forward for the world, it's all about love and about being for people. And we have to keep the new commandment at the center of what it means to be a Christian. It's loving God and loving people, but the new commandment is, I want you to love people the way I've loved you. That's what Jesus says. And if we can just make the main thing and keep it the main thing, that the way forward for the world is always, always about love. It's being for people. And when we look at the life of Jesus, we see Jesus, he was for sinners. I mean, the people that he has the biggest problem with are church people, right? I mean, it's the religious and the self-righteous. That's what he has a problem with. But with Jesus, he's for sinners. He's not for the actions, but he's for the people themselves, right? And who they are, because sometimes we look at a person and we can see where they're at and what they're up to, but we have no idea how they got there. And we can judge a book by its cover, but we don't even know the story. And it's about, we see Jesus, he's changing the lives of people and sinners, and he's for prostitutes, not the actions, but for the people themselves, because he sees sin as brokenness. I mean, when you talk about the story of the prodigal son, when the son returns home, it says the father is filled with compassion, and how compassion is the right response towards sin, because people are broken and hurting and destitute, and it's the father runs to him, embraces him, and loves him, and says, "Welcome home." And that this would be what the church is about. That this is about what we stand for. You guys with me this morning? What are you for? Because we look at the life of Jesus. He seems to be for sinners. He's for tax collectors. He's selling to Zacchaeus. Get down, short guy. We're going to have lunch. He didn't call him short guy. But like, come down. You know, we're going to have lunch. I'm going to have lunch at your house. He just invites himself over. I just love that. You know? And so this is a thief, right? He doesn't go in just correcting the guy. Just his very presence just seems to change people. It's not your job to change people. Your job is to love people and to point people to Jesus. Jesus is the one who changes people. Okay? And so, And then we see Jesus, he's for women, he's for children, he's for the lepers and the sick, and he's for the outcasts, he's for Samaritans. He is just as much for Gentiles as he is for Jews. Jesus was a light for the world because he died for the world. And you know, I think that you'll never discover your purpose, or you'll never make an impact, you'll never make a difference in this world if you don't have something to live for. And too often the church is meant to be, it's meant to be the way forward for the world, but we're seen as what we stand against and not what we're for. Matthew 5, 14 through 16, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to the whole house, into the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." And it doesn't say that you are a light, it says that you are the light of the world. And John writes in 1 John 2, 8 through 11, "At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in light and hates his brother, he's still in darkness." Keep going. "Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Light is all about love. It's just the way you love people. And it's not just any type of love, too. It's the Jesus type of love that is for people. You good? I think the greatest way to be a light for others is by being for others. And don't define what you're for by what you're against. May what you are against be defined by what you're for. Right? And it just starts right here. It starts within your own families. It just starts with, Jesus says, "Who are my mother and my brother and my sisters, but those who do the will of the Father?" Just right here, right now. There's so many people in this room that you can just be for. And that this practice is a practice that we can take out there into the world. Because it's really easy to be a Christian in church, right? That's where the rubber meets the road, is when we actually go out there and love even people who may be unlovable, right? I know them. They're all at Wegmans, okay? So I took a serious moment and just, okay, anyway. You know, I think everyone needs to ask themselves this question. What do I want to be known for? What do you want to be known for? Because, and this question does not just apply to the individual. This applies to organizations, businesses, schools, government. It applies, what do you want to be known for? All right? And this is usually where a vision comes about, or a mission statement for a company or an organization. It's your big idea. It's your foothold in the marketplace, okay? It's your value in society. It's your purpose. It's your why behind your what. It's about having a vision for your life. But there's also a secondary question that's very important. Okay, and if you are in business, or if you are in education or in government, whatever it may be, you can ask yourself this question. This does not just apply to the individual. Okay, the first question is, what do I want to be known for? The second question that's really important is, what are we known for? Because sometimes there is a stark contrast between what we want to be known for and what we are known for, right? And sometimes we even see that existing within the church, and that shouldn't be so. Okay, you guys with me? You know, this is important, because, you know, what we want to be known for isn't enough. It's the people in our lives, our customers, our neighbors, our parishioners, and what they say about us that matters. The first question is, what do we say about us? The second question is, what do they say about us? And like a business is not going to just come up with some type of horrible vision for themselves. They're always going to have a positive vision for themselves, right? I mean, no one comes up with a bad vision. I want to be the dumbest company in the world. Like, no one's going to write a vision like that, right? Like, we're just here to mess with people's lives. No one's going to write a vision statement or a mission statement like that. They're going to write a positive mission statement or a vision for their corporation, but do what they say about them and what their customers say about them, does it align? And if there is a gap between what we say about us and what they say about us, then we know that we have work to do. That makes sense. And that even exists within the church, that exists for businesses, that exists for schools and education, and it exists for government, all right? And when it does align, when what we say about us and what they say about us aligns, that's when growth and health occur and amazing things take place, okay? That's why the church was just so irresistible to the world around them, because they practiced, they said that they are the way and they were for love. And they were visiting and taking care of the orphans and widows and people. And there were four people. And the church was growing like wildfire because this gap was closing and closing. And what they say about them and what the world were saying about them were coming together as one. And growth and explosion, just explosive growth took place. You know, and it's actually amazing. I'm reading a book right now. And it's a business book on marketing, but it's actually amazing what's actually taking place in business and marketing today, because things are changing before the better. And I'm a business major, and you learn these four P's in marketing. It's product, price, place, and promotion. You guys know that one? Okay, product, price, place, and promotion. But this is actually changing as well, which is wonderful to see. There is a shift happening in our culture where there's this fifth P that's emerging, and it's really, really important. So it's not just product, price, place, and promotion, it's purpose. And purpose is taking over, because the purpose gives purpose and meaning to the product, price, place, and promotion, okay? And so it's no longer about having a why for your what. That doesn't cut it anymore. It's about having a why for the what, for the who. It's about who, it's your target market. It is who you're aiming this towards. Who are you going to be for? You guys with me? Okay? That organizations wouldn't just be for their organization, or businesses wouldn't just be for their businesses, but the businesses would be for their customers. That schools wouldn't just be for grades and statistics, but their schools would be for their students. The teachers would be for their students. That politicians would be for the people they're meant to represent. That churches wouldn't just be for numbers, but that churches would be for people and for community. That we'd be for people. You guys with me? I mean, this is really important, all right? People, business, churches, we lose our credibility when what we say about us doesn't match up with what they say about us, okay? The source of all credibility is not the brand itself, it's the customers of the brand. It's about what they say. And think about it. It's like, when you know that someone is for you, you're going to be for them. Recently, we have these, you know, companies that come in. They do have to do, because this is a public meeting place, we have to have all these inspections and stuff. And we have this one company who were charging me. They come and they check our fire extinguishers, right? Do I mind if they hear this message? Absolutely not. So, but they're checking our fire extinguishers. We have another company that checks our lights. Like we got to do all of our emergency lights and everything. This thing is like wiggling on me here. And what happened was we get this, I'm at the Flemington campus, and we use the same company there that we use here. And I get this they change the quote on me, and it goes up to like $8,000. And I'm like, what is this? Like, why are you going to charge me $8,000 for this now? It's like, oh, you won't believe all the stuff we have to do. And they broke it all out for me. It's like, okay. So I just decided, we've worked with these people for years, but I decided, okay, I'm going to go with another company and just get another opinion. They come in, it's like, yeah, this is going to cost you like $200. I was like, what? It turns out that this guy was drumming up work for himself, right? And it's so much how much I know too. But like, this guy was just drumming up work for themselves. And after I had all these like really nasty thoughts about the previous company, and you know, I went before God and asked for forgiveness, I came back and I just went with the new company, because this company was for me. They were honest with me. And because they were for me, I was for them. The other company we had, they lost this campus and they lost that campus. The new company gained this campus and the other campus. And you know what I started doing? I started spreading the good news of this company to all these other people. It's like, you won't believe how awesome this company is. They're actually for their customers. It's amazing what happens, because, you know, I was like their marketing. I was their free advertisement. I was telling people all about them, because they have a great vision. They have a great mission statement. And you know what? I was backing that up, and they gained more business because of it. You know what? The early church was exploding because they were actually for people. You know, it wasn't just for numbers. It wasn't just for statistics. It wasn't just for tithe and offerings. They were for people. And that the church, that we would be for people. You guys with me, okay? That we take this into the world. That, you know, if you're a business owner, you're for your customers. If you're a teacher, you're for your students. As a church, we're meant to be for the world. You guys with me? I mean, this is just so important. Why was the church just so exploding? Why did they take over the Roman Empire? I mean, really, that's what took place, okay? They changed the world because they were for people. And this is what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. And it can be irresistible to the world if it remains what it's meant to remain as. You guys good? Okay? This is just so critical. You know, I hate it when people get used and abused. You know, it's terrible when people are just a means to an end to accomplish what you want. You know, I hope, too, that my leadership practices and what I say about me lines up with what the volunteers and leaders of this church say about me. I don't want to burn people out. Like, I would rather people just step aside or step down from a position if it's going to burn them out, because I want to be for people, right? Let's be for people. You guys with me? You know? And the same principle applies, you know, for our customers and our students, and, you know, even the way we parent our children. Like, if I'm constantly defining to my children what I'm against, there's a good chance they're not going to tell me everything, right? And I'm going to protect, and I'm going to correct, and I'm going to discipline, and but my ultimate aim is not to win battles. You got to pick your battles, right? My ultimate aim is to win their hearts, right? I want to win my kids' hearts, because when they know that I'm for them, they're going to be for me, all right? It gets reciprocated that way. I mean, you look at the story of the prodigal son. He leaves home. His dad is for his son, even when he's messed up, even when he comes home. And they can always come home. Romans 8:31. For if God is for us, who can be against us? It's amazing to know when you have someone in your life who's for you and not against you. I want you to know today that God is for you. He's for you. In your darkest of situations and moments, in all of your screw-ups and mess-ups and mistakes, he's for you. And there anything you can do to change that? Sure, he'll correct, he'll discipline. He loves you just the way that you are. He just loves you too much to leave you that way. Absolutely. But just know that all of that, in all of it, he's for you. His discipline is not the absence of his love. His discipline is the evidence of his love. Right? And this is who he is. And what is light meant to do? And we can have the worship team come on up, because I'm coming to a close. But what is light meant to be? If you're meant to be the light of the world. Isaiah 9:2-4, it says this. Just listen. It says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. You have multiplied the nation, speaking of Jesus. You have increased its joy. Light should strengthen people. It should multiply people. We talk about being a light to the world. We should be a strength and a support to other people. It says it's increased its joy. Light should increase joy in people's lives. Not depression, not sadness, not being down and out. Joy, people. You with me? Okay? As the joy of the Lord, that's our strength. And he goes on. He says, they rejoice before you as the joy of the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden, the staff of his shoulders, the rod of his oppressors, you have broken as on the day of Midian. You know, I believe that the nature of this light that we're meant to be to the world, it should break people's burdens. You know, it should, so many people, they live with guilt and shame, and they should not have to live that way, okay? So many people, they just live with guilt and shame and condemnation. We should lift people's burdens. Jesus on the cross, he paid for that. It doesn't belong to them anyway. They don't have to be identified with their guilt and shame and where they've made mistakes. They can be identified with the victory of Jesus Christ, and he's the true change agent. He's the one who brings salvation to people, and let's just keep pointing people to Jesus, and let's show them that the forgiveness of God, he's wiped away all sin and all shame, and they don't have to live with that anymore. That's what being a light to the world is all about. And then it goes on in that same scripture verses, of his government and of peace, there will be no end. We're meant to be peacemakers in the world. We're meant to show the rule and the reign and the kingdom of God, and that comes by bringing peace. It's the readiness that brings the gospel of peace. Amen. And it goes on. You know, we read John 1 verse 4. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Light should bring life to people. It totally should. We're here to speak life. He says, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I came that you may have life and that you'd have it abundantly, that you be life givers in the world today, that you use your mouth and your voice for life, that you speak well, that you believe well, that you'd hope well. Amen. You guys with me? This is the nature of light. And he goes on, Matthew 5:16, the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. Light exposes good works. It exposes goodness. Some people are afraid to come into the light because they think it's going to expose their darkness. But really, light expels darkness. It doesn't matter. People say, oh, I can't go to church. I'm not right with God. I'm so dirty. It's like trying to take a bath before you take a shower. Like, just come into the presence of God, right? It's amazing just being identified with him, what it does. It shows people for who they truly are. They're children of the living God. And then we have 1 John 2:10. Whoever loves his brother abides in light. Light is about love. It's always about love. The way you love people matters. This is the Jesus way. This is what the church is meant to be all about. You guys with me? And so let's do that. If you want to be a light to the world, let's be for people. Don't judge a book by its cover. You don't know the story. Let's just be for people. Let's accept them for who they are. And let's just show them the love of Jesus. It transforms people's lives. May it start with your family, and may it move on from there. But let's be for people. Amen. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it was irresistible back then. And the same message that's so, just the rawness of it and the simplicity of it is so beautiful and is still so irresistible to the world. Let's not complicate things. Let's just be for people. Amen. Let's stand. Let me pray for you.